Luke 2:8-20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Well, it's a familiar story, these angels appearing to these shepherds out in a field at night and announcing the birth of a Savior, Christ the Lord. Since 1965, Linus has read this very passage every Christmas as he explained to Charlie Brown what the true meaning of Christmas really was. Of course, in all of our Christmas plays and our nativity scenes, there are shepherds and at least one angel. This is a familiar picture. However, we probably don't imagine this scene quite as we should. In most of our Christmas plays and in most of our nativity scenes, the angels are pretty tame looking. But I don't think the shepherds had an experience with tame looking angels. Whenever we see angels, undisguised angels in the Bible, it's absolutely terrifying. And the people that encounter these angels fall down and cannot even speak, just like these shepherds did. And these shepherds saw not only one angel, but they saw a whole host of angels fill up the night sky. And it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. Heaven was opened for these men. And perhaps in a way that nobody had ever experienced before. I don't think it's an overstatement to say that these shepherds experienced the greatest visual display of God's glory and power that anybody had ever seen. This was a remarkable event. But if that's true, it seems kind of strange. It seems kind of strange that God would do it like this, and especially to these people. And so, we're going to ask a question tonight. And this is our question. What kind of God chooses to announce in such a spectacular way the birth of the Christ to shepherds such as these? After all, if God is God, he could have done it in a lot of different ways. And he could have done it for a lot of different people, but he chooses to do it in this way to these people, and we're going to ask why tonight. But before we get there, I did want to welcome you one more time. And I especially wanted to welcome those of you that are watching from home. There are many of us here in the auditorium and in the gym, but there may be just as many or more watching from home. And we are really glad that you could join us. And we want you to have a Christmas Eve experience here where you can feel that you are having a time of unity with everybody else here as well. And so, many of you, hopefully, a lot of you watching at home, received this week your Christmas Eve goodie bag. And we tried to make these as available as we could and get them into as many hands as we could, the people that may be watching it at home. But in these goodie bags, we have a variety of different things. We have some hot chocolate and some candy canes and some wassail ingredients. And we have an Advent devotional that we put together. I'd really encourage you to go through that. That also has recipes in the back for treats that we would normally have on a normal Christmas Eve service here. And also in those bags are candles, hopefully for you and your entire household, because we're still going to do a candlelit portion of our service a little later on here, and we would love for you to join in that as well. And so we hope, again, you can experience this united Christmas Eve service this evening. One more thing by way of announcement, and not regarding tonight, but actually regarding Sunday morning, this coming Sunday. We are not going to, this Sunday, have a normal Sunday service here in the building. But we are still going to have a service. It's just going to be a little unique, because this Sunday, we are going to have an all-church virtual prayer meeting for an hour, from 9:30 to 10:30. If you were with us when this year began, you might remember that we spent 3 weeks focusing on prayer. And we wanted prayer to be an emphasis for this year. Little did we know just how much we would need it. But John Larson and Jay Yowsley took us through those 3 weeks of prayer. We began the week the year that way, and we're going to finish the year that way by having an all-church prayer meeting. And I think it's going to be fantastic. So we'd encourage you to join us. We're just going to have a big Zoom call, but we're going to pray together. And if you're on our email list, you should be receiving an email this week that should have the link for that meeting. You can also go to summitview.com/prayer and join us for our prayer meeting. All right, well, with that, let's return to our question. Again, what kind of God chooses to announce in such a spectacular way the birth of the Christ to shepherds such as these? So what we're trying to do tonight, as we do every service, is try to get to know God. And so when we see him do something like he did with these shepherds, we're trying to understand his heart behind it. What is it about God that animates things like this? What is in God's heart? What are his desires? What are his priorities? What is his general disposition towards humanity? That's what we're trying to understand, and we're trying to understand what this event with the shepherds and angels tells us about who God is. And as we ask this question, let's get to know some of the characters that we're talking about in this question, mainly the Christ and the shepherds. And so we'll start with the Christ. Who is the Christ? Well, Christ is not just the last name of Jesus. Christ is a title. It's in Greek, it's Christ. In Hebrew, it's Messiah. Literally, it means anointed one. Because throughout history, when someone was given a special job, a special role, they were designated for this position, they were often anointed with oil. And it symbolized this giving of authority and power in the role that they were being given. And so the term anointed one or Messiah or Christ was used in that sense. But in ancient Judaism and through the Old Testament, it's used not just to describe lots of different roles that were designated, but it has a specific connotation. It references a specific person, and a person that was predicted to come for centuries and even millennia, because the Old Testament prophets spoke about somebody that was coming, and they did it for centuries and centuries. Dozens of times, hundreds of times, they referred to the coming Messiah. Let me just read one of those out of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel is describing a vision that he had, and he said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. So this son of man, this human, came before God, And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So this Messiah, this Christ, was going to come, and he was going to be given a kingdom. He was going to reign, but he was not just going to reign. He was going to reign over everybody, all peoples and nations and languages. And he wasn't just going to reign over everybody. He was going to reign over everybody forever. He was going to be given an everlasting dominion. And when he came, when he was to come, he would restore everything. And the prophets speak about him in detail. And the prophet Isaiah said that he would be born to a virgin. And the prophet Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. And many of the other prophets describe his reign and said that when he came, he would bring justice and righteousness and peace. And so his coming meant everything. And so the announcement of the birth of the Christ was the most significant news that could be brought. He was going to restore everything. And so this most significant news that could be brought was brought in the most spectacular way that anybody had ever seen. But it was brought to these shepherds. Who are the shepherds? Well, Aristotle actually described the shepherds. This was prior to Jesus. But Aristotle described him, and I think his description probably represents how shepherds were viewed throughout the centuries. Here's what Aristotle says about shepherds. Among men, the laziest are shepherds, who lead an idle life and get their subsistence without trouble from tame animals, their flocks wandering from place to place in search of pasture. They are compelled to follow them, cultivating a sort of living farm. Shepherds were lazy. They were idle. They were dirty, smelly, and maybe untrustworthy, a lot of them. Maybe you didn't want to run into shepherds out in the wilderness. They might take advantage of you. They had a bad reputation, and perhaps that bad reputation was even deserved in many cases. They were insignificant. They were not respected. Their job took no education or no real skill. These were the dregs of society. And yet God chooses to reveal the most amazing news in the most amazing way to the most insignificant people in the land there, the most unrespected. And why would he do that? That's not the way that I would do it. If I had this amazing news and I wanted to bring it and I wanted it to spread, I would choose somebody in a position of influence. I would choose somebody who is well-respected, who is articulate, who is well-connected, who this news could flow through efficiently. That's who I would choose. But maybe that's because I have different priorities than God did. And maybe he wanted to emphasize something else. And he was interested not just in announcing the coming of the Christ, not just that the Christ was there, but that the Christ was accessible, that the Christ was available to everybody. And so he targeted the lowest one he could target in declaring to everybody and to everybody from then on that God was accessible, and that he specifically targeted those kinds of people. And really, that's the portrait of God that we get throughout the Bible. I want to read a few other passages, and the first one is from just a few months before this, when God came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to be with child, and you're going to give birth to the Christ. And when she had this experience with God, she responded in song. She wrote a song. It's known as Mary's Magnificat, and I want to read part of it to you, and we can see what Mary emphasizes after she had this experience with God. Luke chapter 1, verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. It's interesting that Mary, when she responds in praise after this encounter with God, what she highlights, and specifically she highlights that God withheld certain things from the powerful, from the proud, and instead he targeted those in a humble condition. We could go later to some things that Jesus said in his ministry, ways that he describes who God is. He describes God's heart. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus tells this mini parable that he actually has told in several other places as well, trying to describe what God is like. And he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went away, never went astray. He's trying to represent God's heart here, and he's comparing, he's again using this picture of a shepherd. He's saying if there are 99 sheep that stay put and do what they're supposed to, but there's one that wanders off, God gives special attention to that one. His heart is drawn there. His compassion is stirred in a special way towards that wanderer. And he rejoices, God even rejoices in a special way when that wanderer is brought home. That's God's heart. Or in a different place, Jesus shares a prayer with us, and actually it's a prayer of thanksgiving, and he thanks God for what he's like. So what would God the Son thank God the Father for? What stood out about his character that Jesus would praise? Well, it's kind of interesting, maybe not what we would expect. But here's what Jesus says. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. This is what Jesus thanks God for. God is Father. He says, thank you that you again withheld yourself from certain people. Again, the proud, the wise, the understanding. You withheld yourself from them, and instead you revealed yourself to even little children, those who were supposed to be the most insignificant. And again, that's who God targets. And Jesus thanks his Father for doing that. In these pictures, we get an understanding of what God is like. That his heart is inclined towards those that are the outcast, the underdog, those that are wandering, those that are insignificant. That's his natural disposition, is towards those kinds of people. Perhaps we could sum it up best through Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. When somebody is experiencing brokenheartedness, God somehow manifests himself in a special, unique way for that person. In a special way, he seeks and saves those who are crushed in spirit. This is what God is like. This is why he went to the shepherds first. This is what he wanted to proclaim about himself when the Christ came. Now the question is, can we believe this? And can we believe it in a personal way? Can we believe that when we are experiencing brokenheartedness and hardship of any kind, that God draws near in a special way? That those things do not distance him from us, But instead, there's a stirring of compassion. There's a turning of him to us when we experience those things. So when we experience need, maybe material need, financial need, medical need, he comes in a special way. When we experience some kind of injustice, betrayal, false accusation, he comes to us in a special way. He's near. Even when we experience failure and sin, he comes to us. He seeks in a special way. Can we believe that? Can we believe that in the brokenheartedness that we are experiencing right now, that God inclines himself towards that? He doesn't turn him from us. He comes near. So, what kind of God chooses to announce in such a spectacular way the birth of the Christ to shepherds such as these? Well, a God who is inclined towards the outcast, a God who does chase down the wanderer, a God who is near to the brokenhearted, a God who brings a special favor to little children. That's the kind of God that appears to these shepherds in a spectacular way like this. And he's the kind of God that doesn't stay in heaven, but he comes to earth as a helpless infant and grows to be a man and experiences everything that we experience. It's scandalous, really. It's scandalous in many parts of the world that God, in his holiness, would choose to step down into this world and experience all that humanity experiences. But that's the kind of God that he is. He draws near to brokenness. And then, of course, he goes all the way to the cross and to death. He experiences the death of humanity as well. And of course, we should not celebrate the birth of Christ without also celebrating what he brought us in his death. And so what I'm going to do is close by sharing the classic summary of the gospel, the good news that Jesus brought. And Ben, you can go ahead and come on back up here. And I'm going to read John 3:16, and then I'm going to make sure that we understand it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we must understand what it means by God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He didn't just tolerate the world. He loved so much that he came near and gave and sacrificed. His love is that deep. And it's not, and when it says whoever believes in him, it's not just believing in his existence, it's believing in his grace, it's believing in that kind of God that comes so near to brokenness and loves in that way. And when it says shall not perish but have eternal life, it's rescuing us from experiencing death. And it's not just unending existence, but it's everlasting experience of the love that he showed while he was here. God is near to the brokenhearted. God is the God of the shepherds. We are now going to light our candles. And I think this is a fantastic image that we're going to go through right now. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down and I'm going to light my candle from the Christ candle that Mary lit earlier. And then I'm going to begin to spread it. And I'm going to go to each of the front rows here and pass that flame. And it's going to spread throughout the auditorium and into the gym. And also those of you at home can light that light as well. And we're going to show symbolically that God reaches everywhere, even into the very unexpected places. Every dark corner of the auditorium here, into the gym, and even into homes who aren't here physically. And we're going to see that God reaches everywhere. God is accessible. God is the God of the shepherds.